Good evening, all. We are back again for another Friday night of fun and excitement. Tonight we are joined by Jesse, who is one of our new members for Insane Asylum, and hopefully we'll get to go out and do some good fun stuff here. Say hi, Jesse.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, and he just joined us, what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah, something about there.
So looking forward to getting him out with us and do some investigating. And then we are also joined this evening by Brad.
Hi, everyone. And
Henry. Would that be Henry sitting next to you there?
That would be Henry. He's my 6-foot-tall voodoo doll.
Awesome. And who's he supposed to represent?
I just actually bought him at an antique store, and he was kind of just a neat novelty. So he travels around with me to all the haunted locations I go and takes photos. And he's going to be when me and Clarissa start our show in January, he's going to be one of the guest hosts on there with us.
Ah, cool. What you need to do is put a little microphone up there and put a little voice box in him. And
yep. Lots of possibilities.
That'd be fun. So, Brad, my normal questioning here, I just start out with one particular question that starts it all off for people who don't know who you are or haven't seen you or anything like that. And then I go from there, just kind of off the cuff. And anybody can join in. You can ask questions of us if you like and get to know us better if you want. But main starting question is, what struck your interest or got you interested and started in the paranormal?
I've lived in a haunted house my entire life. So I've had paranormal experiences since as long as I can remember, probably back to the ages of 3 or 4 is when I first remembered seeing things in this house. So, yeah,
cool.
That's what got me into it. Then I've had weird things all the way through my childhood, then watching the TV shows, and I'm like, I could do that. And then about 13 years ago is when I actually started going out and investigating and going places and doing all that.
Cool. So have you come across any interesting places or gotten any really good evidence or anything?
I have. One of my favorite locations that I've got some of my best video evidence from is from Ashmore Estates in Ashmore, Illinois. It's a video of a shadow figure walking across the room, and then it turns around and comes back across. And it was caught on our DVR camera. And I know nobody was in the building because it happened while we were all out at dinner. So I know it wasn't a human walking in the hallway causing it.
Pretty cool.
Yep. That's one of my favorite places. My all-time favorite place that I've ever been was Fox Hollow Farms. It's closed down now. It was the home of Indiana's most famous serial killer, Herb Baumeister. It was on Ghost Adventures a couple times. I've been to that house probably 10 or 15 times, so I actually got to swim in the swimming pool where he killed his victim. So that's probably one of my all-time favorite places.
So where are you located, Brad?
I'm in Indianapolis.
Cool. So you're kind of in a central area where you can hit the different states you've got. You see, you got Ohio, Illinois, yep. Wisconsin, Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, Tennessee
and Kentucky, yep.
And Kentucky, yep.
Yep.
So you got all those little surrounding areas.
Yeah, the states I've investigated in, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois, North Carolina, and Arkansas, I think are all the states I've actually been to.
Wow. All the way down to Arkansas.
Quite the list.
Yeah.
Hey, it is a good list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to go to Michigan. I want to come up and hang out with you guys in Wisconsin, too, but I haven't made it that far north yet.
Well, we got a couple of places. I'm still in the works of trying to get everybody on the same page now and try and get us back up to UW where I've got us permission to go into the old children's hospital up there.
Oh, awesome.
That's in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it took me a bit to get that permission, but I got it. And I got to get back to the guy because, well, we were going to do it before COVID hit. And then COVID hit and everything got shut down.
And then we started this.
Then we started this. Well, yeah, and then, of course, one thing led to the other, and I didn't get a chance to get us back up there. So
right.
I got to work on getting us back in there.
And life happens.
Oh, well, we ended a lot of time out on Bray Road.
Yep. That's how I actually met Joe, is on Clarissa's podcast over the summer. I was her co-host, and we did the cryptid episode.
Yep. The Bray Road, Road investigation we did, right. it was a lot of fun, and it was very intriguing and interesting.
We went back in August.
Yeah, I'd like to come up there and see that place. It sounds very, very interesting.
Well, we'd like to put a group together. We already have, when is it, Joe, that we're going to be doing this again?
August 17th.
Okay, so August 17th of this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dale Kazmarek coming up from Illinois. That's what I said, Illinois. He's going to have a friend of his with him that's from the UK. And we're putting our group together and getting everything going. That's one of the reasons I'm trying to get all my equipment together so I can build my REM pods.
Yeah, gotcha.
I'm actually going to build two REM pods. I got two different containers to put them in. So,
oh, neat.
I'm going to see what I can come up with on that. And then, so we'll have REM pods out there along with the other equipment that we've accumulated.
Oh, yep. I'm the equipment guy for my team. So I know all about the equipment.
Yeah. We've never used REM pods. We've seen them used. Haven't had the opportunity to use them.
I just ordered some from Crack Skull Paranormal, but I've used, and I had a friend who actually 3D printed me another one too. So I have a few different designs.
Yeah, I found this.
Oh, cool.
At the Dollar Tree.
Mm-hmm.
The board that I'm using will fit perfectly on the bottom part here.
Nice.
And then I'll put the lights on the side with the antenna on the opposite side. I'm not sure if I want to keep the speaker on the board or if I want to actually mount it to the top of there.
Okay.
But either way, I think it would look really cool as a REM pod.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to have an external extendable antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on the bottom, I'm going to put the on-off switch in and where the 9-volt goes, so it's a lot easier to get a hold of, get two rather than pulling it apart.
Sounds like a great plan.
Yep. And then I think, Jesse, you said that you got us a laser grid, right?
Yeah, I've got a laser grid that my brother made for me. And then also a couple voice recorders, EMF detector.
So, yeah, with Jesse coming in, he's got some equipment we haven't used yet. We haven't had a chance to get, so that's going to be interesting. We'll hopefully have those with us as long as Jesse can make it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely planning on it.
Good. Because we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Brad, your group is which one? Indie Afterlife Society?
Yeah, I have like three groups. I do Indie Afterlife. That was like the first team I started. And then I have No Nonsense Paranormal with two of my friends who are over in Ohio. And then I also do Gray Area Paranormal.
Cool. So what kind of places do you like to go and investigate at?
I'll go anywhere that's haunted, really. This year I made it all the way out to West Virginia State Penitentiary. I've done infirmaries, I've done jails, I've done private homes. I'll go pretty much anywhere.
Cool.
Yeah, I want to investigate a jail or prison or an asylum. You know, that's something we haven't done yet. That's like on the top of my bucket list.
Yeah, West Virginia State Penitentiary is pretty cool. Up near you guys, but still in Indiana, is Old Blackford County, or no, not Old Blackford, Old Lake County Jail up in Crown Point, Indiana, which is right near Chicago. That's a really good jail here in Indiana. It's one that John Dillinger actually escaped from, and they actually knew he was in. So it's a really neat place.
Wow, that would be double interesting, you know, because the history of Dillinger, you know, and all that history has fascinated me.
That's one thing about being in Indiana is every place claims that John Dillinger was there. That's the one drawback about Indiana.
Well, you get it with Chicago, where it's located, you know, you've got us here, the north of Chicago. Then you've got Indiana, which is literally right there south of Chicago.
Right.
And knowing that Dillinger hung out with Capone, and Capone ran Chicago. So you know that you're going to have this whole area have some association with either Dillinger or Capone or both of them.
Right.
Now we have a place that's north of us, which I really would like to get to, and it's still they still have, from what I understand, the original sighting from when the shootout happened.
Little Geneva or whatever? Is that what it's called?
I can't remember the name of it.
I actually might be able to get us into that area because I know on my mom's side of the family that they actually have property that is part of Capone's original hideout, and they know where the car that got shot up is.
Oh, wow.
So I might be able to get us out there.
That would absolutely be fun to do, too, and interesting. Because, well, you know, like I said, with Chicago where it was, and both of those two hanging out together and doing things together, you know, you've got rich history in this area.
Well, Madison's got the Wonder Bar.
Yeah,
that's famous. That's that bar over by the Coliseum in Madison.
That's if it's still there, because I heard that they were trying to tear it down.
I'm just saying it's in the books. It's in like some of these books written by Chad Lewis. All right, the Wonder Bar is, but Al Capone's got some history in there, in that particular bar, as well. You know, but Chicago. Chicago, one of the places I want to go to, and I've got somebody that's willing to take me there because he knows where it's at, but I want to go to the location of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that'd be a trip I'd definitely want to take. Yeah.
You know, I do like the history of that nature with those types of places. The only problem is that I find when you try to do investigations with voice recorders and stuff, you get all kinds of contamination from surrounding sounds.
Yeah. Old Lake County Jail, certain parts of it are really quiet, but the top floor of it has no windows, and that's where like the juvenile section was. So, you get a lot of contamination there, but parts of the jail are really quiet.
Yeah, and you know, I like places that are quiet, you know, because it's easier to get good voice recordings whenever you have that quietness.
A whole lot of trouble, though. There wasn't a whole lot. I guess maybe people realized what we were doing, and they kind of stayed quiet, or maybe they stayed quiet because it was kind of like a graveyard, but not really, just out of respect for the site that we were at. When we went to the Buddy Holly crash site.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
And we did an investigation there.
Hey, Brandy.
people were coming and going the whole time we were there. And we were all the way down at the end of the, you know, we followed the path to the monuments where you had, you know, these metal plaques for Ritchie Valens, Buddy Holly, and so on and so forth. And we were sitting there doing our EVP sessions and stuff. People came down there and were very quiet about it.
Yeah, they were being respectful about it.
So, you know.
And I did catch some interesting evidence on my voice recorder that didn't show up on the audio of anybody else's equipment, which was kind of weird. I was going through my audio and I heard what sounded like a single prop airplane. And it didn't show up on Joe's camera audio. It didn't show up on Dale's audio on any of his devices. It was only on my voice recorder.
Very interesting.
And the second voice recorder I had my girlfriend holding it, and she was actually closer to the monument than I was. And that one, for some reason, failed to record. But mine, I was further away from the monument, had it in hand. I don't recall ever hearing or seeing an airplane go over. But you can distinctly hear it on the audio.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I would have noticed, and I didn't notice anything real there that day.
But I'd still like to go back out there and do another investigation with it and just kind of take some different equipment with.
Yeah, I always like going to places more than once just to see, A, if I can get the same stuff to happen again.
Well,
or new stuff, just to have a...
I think you'd all agree those shows, you know, they make those shows that we all see on TV and we might love and enjoy, whatever, you know, they make it seem like, yeah, the first time you go out to a location or something, you're going to see something right away or discover something. And it's not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of editing to cut down a week's worth of investigating into an hour.
Right.
45 minutes, technically.
It's like, You wonder how many times they had to go back to that location to get the evidence that they actually got.
Right, right. Yeah. I mostly like the shows to see new tech and to see new locations. The actual evidence they find, I don't hold any validity in. It's for TV.
So. Yeah, it's all about ratings.
Yeah, that's right. What it is. It's ratings. It keeps them going. Without the ratings, they don't have a show.
Right.
Right.
So they got to make it as exciting as they possibly can.
I like to see the tech that they're using.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the ideas that they're coming up with involving that same tech that they're using. You know.
That's one thing I like to do is, like, I've seen tech that I've had stuff that I've personally used and then end up seeing it on the TV shows. So it's like, hey, they're now using some of the same stuff that I've already used, so that's always kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
And then it's also fun going places and then end up seeing that on the show, like going there before they go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't had that opportunity yet.
I've had that with Hawks Hollow. I went there before Ghost Adventures went.
Yeah, we did, because I kind of figure the first time we went, and considering around the time that Josh Gates went, he went after we were there the first time.
Oh, at Bray Road?
Yeah, at Lee Hample's place.
Yeah, but we actually didn't get to do a true investigation out there that day. The first time we got to go out there, we actually spent 8 hours out there talking and interviewing with Lee.
Right. It was very...
It was intent. It was very intent. And I enjoyed every part of it.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, then we go back out there, you know, it was like one or two times we went back out there, and it was like we were out there like right after he was.
Uh-oh, Jesse dropped.
Yeah, he's on his phone.
Okay.
But yeah, we were out there right after Josh was.
Okay.
And then I asked, I don't know if it was that time I was out there to show him what we were going to use at the Milwaukee Paranormal Conference when I went out there that day to show him that. And then it was either before or after that. I think it was at that day. Anyways, that's...
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there.
He thought about that, you know, why they were there. You know, kind of gave me an inside look into a show being at a location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've hung out with a few different people from the different shows. I've investigated with a couple of them, so... Most of them are pretty cool. Some of them are not, but.
So tell us about your experience with them then.
The Bama boys from the show Deep South Paranormal, they were a lot of fun. They came all the way up from Alabama to hang out with me and my team out at Ashmore for 2 days. They were a lot of fun. I met the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. Not really a fan. They were super pompous. I know a lot of people love them and say they're good guys. They might be, but the day I met them, they were very egotistical, and I'm like...
Sounds like somebody we know, Joseph.
Yep. Yep.
I've met Grant Wilson a few times. He's really cool. I've met Nick Groff. He's really cool. So, yeah, most of them are pretty awesome. Some of them are all about the ego and... It's not my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it goes back to that saying, you know, never meet your heroes.
You might be severely disappointed.
Yeah. I went in knowing that I didn't really care how they were, but it just kind of proved my point that, yeah, they were just not, they were in it to be famous. They're not in it to be for the advancement of the actual paranormal science.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I did get a couple chances to meet Grant Wilson. He frequents a tabletop gaming expo out here in Madison.
Yep, I actually met him at Gen Con here in Indy. That's where I met him.
Yeah, he was really cool to talk to in person. And
cool. I did not realize he was at events like that.
Oh, yeah, he owns his own tabletop card game company. Like, he makes board games.
Wow.
Cool.
That's cool.
That's actually what he started doing after he left Ghost Hunters the first time.
Really? Wow.
I thought he went in with Jason and bought that hotel.
Well, they had that too, but he was doing the hotel and he was developing his board games because he actually wanted to do a ghost hunting themed board game but had to wait so long after leaving the show before licensing would allow him to do it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, you two take over for a second.
Did you ever get a chance to invest in, and I know this isn't like in your backyard, okay? I can't remember exactly what town it's in, but it's Willow's Weep?
Willow's Weep. Yeah, I've been there twice. I've been there twice or three times. I can't remember, but yeah, it's a cool place.
Is that still a place that I've heard?
I don't think so. I think the owner, Dave Spinks, closed it down.
Uh-huh.
Because I was actually there the day he bought it. It was right. He was hosting it. They were hosting a meet and greet.
I saw the thing on cable where he offered to buy it from that lady.
Yep.
You know, and she... Yeah.
I was actually there the day that happened.
Got that spot, right. So I was watching that episode again because it just happened to be on cable at the time. And I tend to watch some of those shows when I'm just sitting here, you know, got nothing better to do. Anyway, I know, you know, I've had David Spinks as a guest on our show once or twice, but
I know him. I've actually interviewed for one of his YouTube shows once. Yeah. So yeah, I've met him. I've talked to him. It's a cool place. It's
close it down, huh? That sucks.
But yeah, he wants to close it down and cleanse the land because whatever he had planned for it, he was done with it. So it's a weird little house.
Yeah. He should allow someone else to come in and take it over.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It's like 2 hours for me because it's over on the state line up near Chicago. But yeah, it's a cool place.
So I guess for that trip we planned, we're going to have to find something else.
Yeah, we will.
It would be the Roth House in Watseka, Illinois would be close. Is relatively close to where Willow's Weep was. That's another cool house.
Well, we're planning a trip for like July, end of July, first week of August of next year for a week-long trip. We're going to go through Illinois, Indiana, up into Michigan.
I would recommend checking out the Roth House in Watseka, Illinois. It's the first recorded spirit possession happened in that house. It was called the Watseka Wonder.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've been there a couple times too. It's now a bed and breakfast, and they'll let you investigate, and it's a really cool place. And you can go to the cemetery where the girl who got possessed is buried, and it's all right in this little town.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. That'd probably be interesting to do.
Yeah, it's just inside Illinois, just south of Chicago. So,
So do you ever do any investigating in cemeteries, or have you?
Oh, I love cemeteries. Cemeteries are probably one of my favorite places to go. There's a well-known cemetery down in southern Indiana called 100 Step Cemetery. Well, no, there's 100 Step Cemetery in Indiana, and there's also Step Cemetery. Step Cemetery is spelled STEPP. It's down in Morgan Monroe State Forest. It's probably like the most well-known haunted cemetery in Indiana. It has lots of legends. There's supposed to be a baby buried there, and its mother was supposed to come watch over it. And there's a tree stump that if you sit on, you're supposed to die within a year. Well, I sat on it like 13 years ago, and I'm still here. So,
nothing like tested legends.
But yeah, I've probably been down to that cemetery, God, probably 20, 30 times, and you always feel like you're being watched. You can see stuff walking in the woods, and it's an interesting place. But yeah, I love cemeteries.
Yeah. You know, there is one place I wished I could get us all back over to, but we'd have to go to California for it.
What's that?
It's in a town that I grew up in. Kingston Park. It's in a small town called Layton, California. It's the almost middle of the state, right in the Central Valley. There's the Kings River runs through the area there, and the park's a fairly large park. We used to hang out there when I was a lot younger, you know, young, dumb, and wild and crazy. It's well known as an area where you see shadow figures.
Okay.
Shadow people are there all the time. And there's one particular one that was there when we were there, hanging out all the time. It wasn't a dark black shadow. It was a white shadow.
Okay.
And I've seen them. I just never got pictures of them or video or anything like that because, of course...
Well, back then they didn't have cameras.
We had cameras we could use, didn't have cell phones.
Mm.
You're pretty old.
You're older than me, bud.
No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, you are. So...
I'm only 21.
Yeah, you do.
Me too.
Yeah, it was a cool park, and I'd love to be able to go there and take my equipment and check it out with the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a long trip.
It would be a hell of a long trip.
Yep. Yeah, I think the farthest I've ever traveled in one, like, we drove out to North Carolina to do the USS North Carolina, so we were in Wilmington. It's like a 12-hour drive one way from Indianapolis. So we drove out there, investigated, and drove back with, so, like, no sleep.
So 36 hours?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Oh, I've been to Vegas. That's about it. Once.
Yeah, but you flew out there.
Yeah.
I've driven to California. I'm from California.
I won a trip. That's why I flew out there.
I know.
First time I flew.
I know. They contacted me looking for you.
I know. I'm still in a lawsuit with Las Vegas, so. I mean, that's some false advertising, that shit. You know, with what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So, Brad,
I've never made it out that far west, but
she didn't stay in Vegas, I'll tell you that.
Brad, have you had a chance to check out the Lake County Courthouse in Crown Point?
The courthouse? I've never done the courthouse is right across the street from the old jail. I've never actually been in the courthouse. I've been in the old jail.
Okay.
I've definitely spent time in the jail probably like 6-7 times, I think I've gone up there, because it's like a 3-hour drive from Indy to Chicago. So,
as a temporary resident,
I have never been arrested for anything ever.
Are you trespassing?
Nope. The only time I even got close for trespassing, I was in Central State Mental Hospital, which is downtown Indianapolis, which is owned by the state, and I was down in the tunnels, and I was told we had permission to be there by the person who set up this event. So we went, they said, you're free to go. We went down into the tunnels. We crossed the entire campus underground, came out in the power plant, went into the power plant for a bit. And then the cops were like, you need to leave. You're on state property, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't arrest us. They just escorted us back to our car and let us go with not even a warning. They didn't even check our names or anything.
I should have done it that day. should have done it.
Whatever.
You told me not to do it.
Whatever.
So that's the closest I've ever been.
And this was just at a state park. You know. And it says no trespassing, blah, blah, blah. But there was like public access, no fence, no sign down by the sidewalk. I said, I'll just walk up from that way.
It's not a sidewalk. There's no
Whatever, road, whatever.
It's the road. But
the place was Esalen State Park. Mm-hmm. And there was a Indian burial mound there that it was a princess, Indian princess was buried there. At one point, her remains were removed and taken to Milwaukee to a museum. The local tribes were protesting. To this day, they still do protest down at that Milwaukee
museum. Because her remains are still in that museum.
Right. And at this point, they're in storage at that museum. They're not even on display. Right. So anyway, they say that if you stand on her mound reading the stone that's there, and you stand on that, you'll hear her belt. She had like 3 belts made out of shells.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear them rattle behind you.
Very interesting. Yeah, we have a state park here in Indiana that you're allowed to camp in, so I would assume you're allowed to investigate in it. It's Mound State Park up in Anderson, but has an Indian burial mound. But it's a state park, so we're allowed to.
Well,
it's got a campsite in it, so
I believe anything's possible, and especially at that place. because when we investigated the rest of that, I mean, that's just one part. He was saying, there's no trespassing, we get arrested, all this. And I'm like, come on.
I didn't say we'd get arrested. I said, you get in trouble.
Anyway.
We had
some really weird shit happen there. And we tried to get it and record it and everything. Got home.
That was the first time we were out there.
And all of the files were corrupt.
Mm.
And this is like brand new cards, brand new batteries, brand new, you know. And it's just, we had the EMF meter just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As we were like walking up the kind of steps of the one of the mounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set it down so that you wouldn't see that I set it on the ground on one of the steps so that you could see that it wasn't me interfering with the meter.
Right.
And we were like sitting there recording it, and it was still going nuts. Got home.
No footage.
None of that footage was there.
I tried to corruption on the card. The camera was actually fairly brand new, too.
There was nothing there big enough or any power lines around.
There are no power lines that go overhead. There are no power lines that go underground.
Uh-huh.
There's literally nothing there that would give you any kind of EMF reading that or should have given you
right
that kind of an EMF reading. But it was just going crazy nuts. I mean, it would jump from like 0.2 to like 1 point something and then jump back down. And it just kept doing that.
Could you ask it questions and make it go up and down, or would it just do it randomly?
I don't recall
that,
actually.
That was just, I mean, it just started doing that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it would like respond to you or
not. I don't think it was responding to anything because we weren't asking any questions at that time or anybody questions. We were just kind of walking around.
We were just filming and walking around talking with ourselves. And then Joe set it down on that step, and I stood there recording it. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was showing that it was recording. And, well, it was his camera, because he'd got his camera before I got mine. And then, so when he got it back home, he was trying to pull the information off of it. He plugs it in. And it literally told him the file corruption indicator on it that worked.
And I tried everything I know. And I've been like a computer, you know, person.
He knows the computers, and so do I. So,
right. So, it's not user error causing it.
Right. It's not user error.
Something external caused that.
I've been fooling around with the internet and stuff before there was the internet. I've been around since bulletin board days.
Yeah,
2600 baud modems, you know.
Yeah, now he really is dating himself.
Yeah, but yeah, we've been back there like what, three times now? Two.
We were there two times. That first time when we got that weird readings on the EMF. The second time he got sick.
Mm.
The second time he got really bad sick, we had to get, we literally, his wife had to run and get the car and pull in and come around to the main parking lot in the back to pick him up.
Oh, wow. Did they get something there affecting you? Causing that?
I think so, because we went down by the river and we were walking the trail coming back up, and him and his wife were walking ahead of me and my girlfriend, and I kept looking back over my shoulder because I kept seeing something out of my peripheral.
I think
feeling like something was there following
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and at one time I turned quick enough that I caught it, whatever it was, it ducked back around behind us because the trail actually was a constant curve.
Okay.
So it would stay just right at that edge part where it could see us and, you know,
mm-hmm, right at the apex. Kind of like
watch it, right at the apex, and it was just that. I know that there was there's at least 5-6 times that I actually would turn around and look because I could feel the damn thing back there, whatever it was. And that one time I spun quick enough, I caught a glimpse of it before it ducked back. And it was a shadowy person. It was a shadowy figure.
That's cool.
Of course, I didn't catch anything on video. I was recording with my video camera at the time, but I didn't catch anything on video at that point. And it didn't dawn on me to just take the camera and flip it and put it over my shoulder.
Yeah, just carry it backwards over your shoulder.
Carry it backwards or something. You know, it didn't dawn on me to do that.
You know, this whole process has kind of been learned as we go.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You go out, we run into like the guys when we ran into them out and when we were doing the Witches of Whitewater, for example.
Right. When we were in Whitewater, there's three different cemeteries in Whitewater that supposedly there are witches that have been buried in them.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we were out there. Oh, go ahead, Jesse.
They call Whitewater Second Salem.
Right.
And there's actually a tree that if you're looking at it while you're on the main street, there's parts of the branches that actually look like a witch riding a broom.
I didn't know about that when we were there. That would have been cool to check. But two of the three cemeteries that are there, you can actually access. One of them is by the UW campus. One of them's over by the gravel pits, and the other one's downtown. The one downtown is completely fenced off. You can't even access it. I think you can, though, if you contact the Chamber of Commerce and arrange stuff.
That team, when we were at the one cemetery and that team was there, they had the dude from the Chamber of Commerce with them.
Yeah, he was.
They were filming a documentary.
They were doing a documentary on it
for the conference.
And we met him up by the water tower at the park,
right?
At Dunland Park. So that's where we met those guys, and they're really cool. They were very cool people.
They were the ones that built some of the devices that they had, and was telling us about them, and they were kind of cool. And yeah, they were giving us kind of advice and little tips and hints and, you know.
Yeah, I've delved into the building of equipment a little bit myself, so.
Well, I found that doing these REM pods are easy to do, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could get into that now, too, now that I could see.
You do the Mad Labs Junior Theramine Kit.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, basically, it's... You know what a theramine is?
It's
basically
the thing that makes the noise.
Right. It uses one or two or three antennas or whatever, and they actually use it as a musical instrument. Some people do.
Right, right.
But the junior one only has a single antenna that comes off of it. It has one speaker, and then it's all set up as a small, very, very small board. About 2.5 inches square. And then you hook the wiring up for a 9-volt battery, which runs everything. So that's what I'm going to be using. I got two of those. I'm going to try and put them together. One of them in this container thing here.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
And one of them in a square box.
Okay.
And try to set them up and make them work well. Because all you got to do is within about 2 inches of the antenna is, you know, from like 2 inches on. And also the different length of the antenna as well. And then if you touch the box itself, it'll also light up too.
Very cool.
So
it has lights. It'll have lights and sound?
It'll have lights and sound. It's got a hookup for 4 LEDs. It comes with red LEDs.
Okay.
And that's what I was talking about before we started. I ordered some different colored LEDs to use.
Okay.
And of course, Amazon loses my damn package. So.
Yep. Sounds about right.
So what's next on your list, Brad?
I'm pretty much done for this year.
Kind of hibernate for the winter, huh?
A little bit. Most of the time, I investigate in the winter, but I don't know. This year I'm kind of feeling just kind of like chilling out. I am going to do a New Year's Eve party at a haunted location. So,
oh, that sounds fun.
So that'll be cool. Fun. We've told people it is a party. It is a haunted location. If you want to try to investigate, you can, but it's not going to be quiet for you to do that.
No, it's not going to be quiet for EVPs.
Right. So, yeah, that's my next big adventure. And then in January, I'll start the show back up with Clarissa. So,
cool. Yeah, that kind of sounds fun. I mean, Mark and I, we used to build some of the best haunted houses on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got quite the attention for a few years there.
That's awesome.
I mean, we kept people guessing. That was the secret. You kept people guessing. Keep people guessing.
Mm-hmm. We would go in we'd go in early morning, get everything starting, working it up, build it in, and then let them run through for about 3.5 hours at night, mm-hmm. 4 hours at night, you know. And then once it was done, it was done. And then we'd tear it down before we went before we went to bed and stuff. So nobody could actually sneak in and see how we had everything set up.
Yeah, nobody could see how things would work. You know, we'd set up early in the morning, tear it down after it was done, so that nobody could actually kind of get a step up on how we do things and kind of, you know, throw it back.
It was a lot of fun because we had grown men crying coming out of our haunted houses.
Mom's crying.
I would not even go in. Haunted houses are is not my thing.
And there are so many kids that would come through and come out the other end laughing their asses off.
Yeah, I was traumatized by a haunted house when I was 9, and I've not been back since. So,
that kid, remember that kid that we were. You and I were dressed like reapers and standing as still as could be right in the little walkway up to the house. And when we moved, Mom freaked out more than the kid freaked out.
Yeah. That was before we did the haunted houses. That we were doing that before the haunted houses. I think that kind of is what triggered us to figure let's do a haunted house.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's not my wheelhouse. Put me in a real haunted house, real haunted location. I'll do that by myself, no problem. Blood, guts, and gore.
You can always come here to my house.
Not me.
You can always come to my house. It was built in 1900,
and
I've got all kinds of weird stuff that goes on here.
Yeah, like I said, I've had stuff fly off the walls. I've had stuff move. I've seen people walk up and down the hallway.
I know Jesse hasn't heard this. I don't know if Joe heard this, but the weekend after, was it the weekend after Thanksgiving when you guys came over?
Yeah.
I know they were here on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's when we had everything. And I don't think they even used my back door. They used a sliding door and a front door. And I had my back door locked. And I got up the next morning on Sunday morning, and I was doing something, and I noticed that the back door didn't look right. So I went down to look at it, and it was open. But the lock, the bolt, the deadbolt was locked.
I came in through that. When I walked up and came in through the...
Yeah, he came in through the patio door.
Patio door.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think Jesse and his wife and child came in through the front door, right?
Yeah, we came in and left through the front door, and you even double-checked that back door because it was open before we left. You double-checked closed and locked it again.
The whole damn thing, I know I had it locked.
Hmm.
And when I got up that morning, I was doing my things, and I went and I checked it. And
the door was open, but the deadbolt was open
with the deadbolt locked and pushed tight up against the seal.
All right, now I got a question for y'all.
So okay. That is weird.
Since we got some other people here, what do you think of those AI devices? Do you think they can detect or allow them to communicate with you? I'm talking about like the Google and the Alexa, the devices in your house, you know, because I tell you what, I'm sitting here, it's totally quiet. I'm just sitting here reading the internet or something now that I can read and stuff, or I'm just sitting here watching TV and out of the blue, these fucking things will go off with some nonsense.
I think they can.
But I wouldn't even ask.
He's got Google. He's got a Google. I've got an Alexa.
I've got Alexa in the bedroom.
I think spirits could interact with them. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
I believe it.
They're always listening for something. So
if right.
anything talks, it's
yeah.
If it picks up that frequency and thinks it's someone saying something, I think it can do it.
Now,
yeah, we've had quite a few times.
History. The house that I live in, it's an old trailer built in 1970 something in a mobile home park that's now a condo community, whatever. But we bought it from my wife's aunt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't at the time, but her significant other's father passed away in bed here while he was sleeping in this home. And this was his home for many years.
Maybe he's trying to reach out.
I got a feeling sometimes, yeah.
Jesse, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying that we've had quite a few times where either our Echo, but we have the Alexa, the show one with the camera.
Yeah.
We've had that one just randomly start talking to us, saying it didn't recognize what we were saying. And then I have a little Google one, too, that has picked up and started saying things, freaked us out. Because we're just sitting here watching TV, and
exactly
super loud right next to me, it just starts talking. And one time our Echo just, for whatever reason, just started giggling.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I believe that spirits can interact with.
Actually, read the comments now.
That's why I had like
they can interact with baby monitors good too. Baby monitors is a great cheap investigating tool.
I never thought about that. You know, we had one I think both with Ashley and Deborah, my first and the last. We had one of those and I never really paid attention to if they went off randomly or something.
Yeah, now they even have them with video, so you can would do if I had one, I would set the video up where I can see it's recording and try to communicate and actually use it as a paranormal device.
Yeah, I mean
I think those nanny cams would work too.
Mm-hmm.
As a real good paranormal
device. I love trying all different kinds of
the ones where the camera is like stuffed inside of a teddy bear or something, or
mm-hmm.
Just set it in a room and just go off for a while and investigate somewhere else.
Yep.
Yeah, with the ones that have the cameras and the video on them, you actually, if you have the Amazon, the Alexa app on your phone, you can actually just drop in onto your own device and watch whatever it sees.
That's pretty cool.
Take it with you to an investigation, stay within Wi-Fi range. You wouldn't even have to be in the room or the building or anywhere. Just
yeah.
I'm all for using technology in new and different ways that to help further the study of paranormal.
Oh yeah,
see, that's the whole thing. You know, these things are electronic. They are. They will react to anything around them.
Well, and they're connected to the internet. You know. So they've got a wide range of being able to ways to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of these days, somebody's Google might go off in different language for all you know.
Yeah, very possible.
That might be time to really freak out then, right?
You mean something like, hey, Google, speak Spanish to me. Are you loud enough for her to hear it?
No.
Damn it.
No. Actually, I've got this one, I think, muted right now. This is smart. So it doesn't speak up because I know you.
Oh, you mean like whenever I come over and I actually used my app and hooked up to yours and started changing it and doing shit with it? I did that on my phone to him, and he was freaking out like, what the hell's going on with my Google?
That's pretty awesome. That's a sign of a good team when you can do that stuff to each other.
Well, you know, the way we met, well, I'll tell you that after we go off the air because we only got like 5 minutes, but
four.
So you're going to take a break for a while then, huh?
Yeah, probably. I'm still planning stuff for next year.
Yeah, what are you planning for next year?
I want to go out to Missouri. There's a bed and breakfast out there that is in an old morgue. I want to go see that.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'm going to be hitting a lot of places here in Indiana. Again, always my same usual places, the Monroe House, Randolph County Infirmary, Blackford County Jail. But I think I'm going to about going out to Prospect Place out in Ohio again. I went there a few months ago. Another trip to West Virginia is in the works too. So I'm always somewhere usually. It's very rare when I'm not at home.
You're going to get busy again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Or next year.
Once the new year's done and everything's pretty well straightened out.
And it starts getting warmer.
Yeah, yeah. I've investigated a -2 degree temperatures in a house with no heat, but.
No.
I missed three winters. Joe can't handle that crap. Me, it doesn't bother me.
I'm allergic to the cold.
And I wear shorty around too, so.
Not me.
Got myself about as bad as I was when I first moved out here.
But we're taking a nice road trip next year. We might have to catch up with you when we get to Indiana.
For sure. Heck, I'll travel to Illinois. I'll travel wherever.
Yeah, you come to Wisconsin, we'll show you a few places.
Yeah, we got to come up that way.
We got quite a few things out here too, so.
Yeah, we do.
So, because we plan on, as we take this road trip to these three different states for this week-long road trip, we're going to catch up with other teams and other people.
Yep.
So, and make some, you know, bigger connections or better connections, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I've hung out with a lot of the people from Thing. So I've met Jeremy. I've met Nick. I've met Clarissa. So I know a lot of the different hosts on the show. So.
Yeah, I've been on a lot of their shows myself. So.
I have yet to now that I've got my
next Friday. Alright, next Friday we are going to have none other than Janet Ramsey and her crew next Friday.
Cool.
Going to have the ladies from Michigan.
Yep. That's always a fun time. So we'll have to catch up. Been a while. And then on Thursday, you can see Mark and I on Supernatural Talk, and that'll be a 2-hour show. Mark might fall asleep about half hour.
Maybe I'll take a nap.
Because it goes from 7 to 9 p.m., and that's on Things Network. So be watching for us Thursday, and then we'll be back Friday with Janet Ramsey and crew.
Very cool. Sounds like you guys are going to be busy the next week.
Yeah, the show goes on, but our investigations start as soon as it gets warmer, and I've got a bucket list and a lot of people I've been talking to about places we're going to be going. So it's going to be a fun year.
Brad, thank you for coming in, and Jesse.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you as part of our crew.
I'm glad to be part of it now.
Yes. Welcome aboard, Jesse.
Thank you, guys.
Coming on, Brad. And if you want to stick around, we can still talk.
Yep. It's only 7 o'clock here, so.
And remember, anything's possible. Almost lost my mouse there.